This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. Another great spring weekend, I hope, for all of you, for all of us, able to confront what has been an increasingly common question. Is this coronavirus attack on the United States, the lockdown, the pandemic, the suffering that we've gone through, is this all somehow a message? A message from where? Well, no, it's not a message from China. It's not a message from Russia. It's could it be a message from on high, from God, from fate, from destiny, from the higher power who runs the universe? There's a new poll that shows that a majority of Americans are open to the idea that the coronavirus is actually meant to be some kind of divine message. If so, what is that message meant to communicate? We will get to that issue. The poll has certain answers. Then there are a number of experts on all different sides of this religious question who are trying to figure out exactly what we're supposed to take away from this event. And speaking of taking it away, how do we get out of it? How do we get out of the lockdown? We're going to be speaking with Lanhee Chen of the Hoover Institution, who has been monitoring developments across the country and basically says, yes, just about everywhere we could be doing a better job of getting America back. How? We'll be speaking with Lanhee Chen coming up. We'll also be talking about the blue wave that crashed in Wisconsin. A blue wave meaning the wave for Democrats that was supposed to happen in this election because of all the hardships we're going through. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist says, look, there is very, very strong indication if you look at the polls, if you look at the election results in that special election of last week, it's very, very clear we're headed for a red wave. And we'll be speaking to her. We'll also be reviewing a big, epic new movie. It's actually a 10-part series. And it is epic. It's about Catherine the Great, the most one of the most important female rulers in all of human history. She counts along with Margaret Thatcher and Queen Elizabeth I. But Catherine the Great was a big deal. There's this new series on Hulu. We will be reviewing that. We'll also be reviewing, I know many of you are waiting for it, Scoob. For those of you who grew up on Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, or is that Waggy? For those of you who want to see the new animated version, it's pretty well done, 3D style animation. We will be reviewing Scoob, a big, huge new movie that is opening up on video on demand all across the country. Okay, first up, the Wall Street Journal has come closer than it ever has before in a column by James Freeman to suggest that Joe Biden has just cooked his own campaign, that his ability to win this election has basically been eliminated. Why? Because of some kind of gaffe? No, this is more than a gaffe. There are plenty of those, too. There's also him suggesting that we have had 80,000 people file for unemployment. No, we've had more than 80,000 people die, Vice President Biden. There have been 36 million who have filed for unemployment. In any event, it's not that. It's something that he said when he was on air with Lawrence O'Donnell that goes to the very heart and vulnerability of his campaign. On MSNBC with Lawrence O'Donnell, the conversation went like this.
What would you say to them about their vote? Well, I think they should vote their heart. And if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid.
Okay, Lawrence O'Donnell was asking Joe Biden about was a column in the New York Times, which we discussed on this very radio show, a column by Linda Hirschman. We'd invited her to come on the show. She declined. But Linda Hirschman is a longtime liberal activist. She had written a book about sexual assault and about sexual harassment. And she said, look, she believes Tara Reid. She's going to vote for Biden anyway. Now Biden is saying, I don't want people who believe Tara Reid to vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid. Well, first of all, let me tell you what James Freeman says first, and I'll go to my own reaction, because I don't think it's such a tremendous error, but it does highlight the desperate need he has to clear away, to settle these charges. If they linger, if they continue to be a problem for his campaign, he almost certainly will lose. And will continue to inspire, by the way, between now and July, or maybe it's even going to be August, he's going to continue to inspire all sorts of talk that he needs to be replaced on the Democratic ticket. James Freeman writes in the Wall Street Journal, did Joe Biden just destroy the premise of his presidential campaign? In a single moment in last night's television interview, the former vice president encouraged a significant number of his supporters to abandon him. He also undercut his main argument against President Donald Trump. Mr. Biden just sawed off the political limb supporting liberal feminists willing to back him on the grounds that, whether the allegation is true or not, the issue is Trump by the urgent need to beat the president. If Mr. Biden is now suggesting that voters who believe Ms. Reid should not vote for him, how can his surrogates claim they should? To support him now, Biden's surrogates have to send the implicit message that they think Ms. Reid is not telling the truth. Let me be very clear. I think Ms. Reid is not telling the truth. Basically, what she describes is preposterous. It's just bizarre. And then she says she filed a complaint about harassment, though there's no evidence that she actually did. But she says she did not file a complaint about this outrageous assault, which is very, very highly improbable. And the reason I have some sympathy for what Joe Biden said, if somebody does actually believe that Biden did that, basically digitally raped somebody in a corridor of the Capitol building, for goodness sake, that individual is so irresponsible, so demented, so degraded, that he shouldn't be anywhere near the presidency of the United States. Obviously not. It's just, we're not talking now about garden variety harassment. We're not talking about things like, oh, he mentioned a potential pubic hair on a Coke can. We're not talking about somebody mentioning to somebody in conversation a pornographic movie. Now, those things are, you can say they're dubious, they're weird, but I don't think they're disqualifying for the presidency or for anything else. I also don't believe those charges against Justice Thomas, by the way. I don't believe the charges against Brett Kavanaugh, certainly not. But the point is that you can say, okay, it's really irrelevant what somebody did when he was a 17-year-old and he was drunk, and there's no evidence that he actually did it. On this, if there is any evidence that a United States senator in his 50s actually performed this sort of attack, well, one of the reasons I don't believe it is because there are no other charges like that. Most people, I mean, we know about Jeffrey Epstein. We know about Harvey Weinstein. We know about people in that situation. That's not Joe Biden. How does this get resolved? We will get to that. We will also be talking, coming up a little bit later, with Lonnie Chen of the Hoover Institution about sanity and insanity in responding to the coronavirus? How do we get more on the sane side of things? That and more coming up on the MedVet Show. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVet Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVet History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals had a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Grovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, AmFed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call AmFed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers.
You're not a live underground gopher.
You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show. A little bit later, we're going to be covering the upbeat press conference that President Trump had today about the progress on Operation Warp Speed. That is the development of the vaccines that we are going to need ultimately to deal with this coronavirus crisis. And But President also had some comments about the honking horns. They were truckers, apparently, who were almost overshadowing some of the comments at the press conference, particularly by the press. But we will get to that. Speaking about Joe Biden and the reaction to an interview that he did last night, it was an interview with Lawrence O'Donnell on MSNBC. And Biden was asked by Lawrence O'Donnell, do you remember Tara Reid, who was 29 at the time of the alleged assault? And Biden said, well, to be honest with you, I don't. Okay. People may say, aha, he pretends he doesn't even remember her. It's entirely credible to me. She worked for him for 9 months. She worked in his office. She was a lower level person in his office. A Senate office like that, at the time, let's see, in 1993, they probably would have had 20 full-time staff people. And they circled through, and he would certainly know his administrative aide. He'd know his LA, his legislative aide. He'd know the people who had been there for a while. But someone who's there for less than a year? Why would he remember her? And she would certainly remember him, whether he did something horrible or not. Why? Because he was a famous guy. And she viewed, obviously, working for him as an opportunity for her to move forward in life. Just 29 years old. Okay, the point about all of this is, are there people out there who agree with the Linda Hirschman point of view that, yes, I'm planning to vote for Biden, even though I think that Tara Reid is telling the truth? The piece in the Wall Street Journal actually cites some polling data that shows that he would probably lose a third of his voters, of people who are now planning to vote for Joe Biden, if they followed his advice. If he says, if I believe Tara Reid, I wouldn't vote for me. Because about a third of Biden voters, apparently Democratic voters, believe Tara Reid. Here was the exchange with Lawrence O'Donnell last night about whether he remembers Tara Reid at all. Listen.
The Tara Reid story, and you served in the Senate for about 36 years, Senator from Delaware. You were chairman of committees. Having worked in the Senate myself, I'm just in my head doing the numbers. You had to have had well over 1,000 Senate staffers between the committee staff, the Delaware Senate staff. Do you remember Tara Reid, who worked there for around a year in 1992-93?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't. But look, let me get something clear. When a woman makes a claim that she has been harassed or abused, and this claim has changed as it's gone on, but harassed or abused, she should be taken seriously. She could come forward, share her story. She should be taken seriously. And it should be thoroughly vetted. And in every case, what matters is the truth. Truth is what matters. And the truth of the case is nothing like this ever happened. She has a right to be heard, but then it should be vetted, and the truth ultimately matters. And I give you my word, it never, ever happened.
Okay, if you could imagine for a moment, even some of those of you who are convinced that all women should be believed, that Joe Biden is telling the truth, what should he do to try to get that idea across? And the point that James Freeman makes in the Wall Street Journal, which I think is persuasive, they say that one third of Democratic voters now believe the sexual harassment and assault allegations against Joe Biden. Of Democratic voters, that according to a brand new Hill-Harris survey. The survey was taken May 11th to 12th, and the poll said that a full third believe the harassment allegations, and 30% believe the sexual assault accusations. Now, this is very significant because there should be a bigger difference than that. She claims to have told other people that she was harassed when she was working in Joe Biden's office. By the way, some of the people she told, she didn't tell them she was harassed by the senator himself. She just said she was harassed in the office. But it is literally only in the last few months, since the very end of 1919, that she came forward with this claim of assault, which is enormously more serious. And again, given the fact, I think that Lawrence O'Donnell may be exaggerating the number of Senate staffers. It may not be 1,000 that he had in his Delaware office and he had in his Washington office combined. However, it's hundreds. It's many hundreds. And the idea that someone, and she did work there for only 9 months, that somebody in that situation wouldn't be that memorable, I think that's legit. David in Seattle. David, you're on the Michael Medved show.
Hey, Michael, I don't know why it seems like you sound upset that Biden's campaign's imploding. I mean, I'm loving it because just ask what could Biden do to convince people. It's simple. Get a time machine, go back 1 year from now, and defend Kavanaugh from the attacks he was getting. Why I kind of love it, and I'm surprised you don't, go back a year when all these people, for both elected politicians and people on the TV or the media, were trying to destroy Kavanaugh and the glee they were getting out of it. And now that the hypocrisy has a light shone on it with them, it's just so enjoyable. And I hope they really taste how bad it is this November when they have Biden on the top of the ticket. And I don't think you should try to get him off the ticket, because he will lose. I think he'll bring the whole Democratic Party down with him. And everything that you stand for, you want religious freedoms and a smaller federal government and pro-life.
Yep. Yeah, no, no.
That's what you do. That is for Trump to win.
No. Okay, but the problem here is the Democrats are going to counter with precisely the same kind of attack against President Trump. And I think that that kind of back and forth is going to be incredibly bad for the country. Who did what to which accuser, how many years ago, and how many times? I mean, it could be the worst campaign in all of human history, if it's that. We'll speak of Lanhee Chen about getting out of lockdown. Coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is touting efforts to develop a possible coronavirus vaccine. Speaking at the White House, the president says he's looking to get a vaccine, hopefully, by the end of the year.
My administration cut through every piece of red tape to achieve the fastest ever by far launch of a vaccine trial for this new virus, this very vicious virus.
States across the country are continuing to slowly and safely reopen. 48 states are relaxing stay-at-home guidelines, but this protester in Michigan is still not happy with the way Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer is handling her state.
We're not stupid. We know if we have COVID, we stay home. If we don't, though, we have a country here, and we have the United States of America, where businesses do, we're losing them.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles. My crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Are far more serious. Christine Blasey Ford claimed to have been groped by Justice Kavanaugh when he was a drunken 17-year-old. Tara Reid insists Joe Biden assaulted her when he was a 50-year-old senator and her boss. Moreover, the first time Dr. Ford ever spoke to anyone about her allegations came 30 years after the purported event, in conversation with her therapist, while Reid discussed her charges with at least four friends or family members in the same year they allegedly occurred. In neither case does it make sense to disqualify a candidate for high office based solely on dubious long-ago charges by a single accuser. Applying that standard to Biden means the Democrats should acknowledge the far flimsier grounds. On the Michael Medved Show, it's always a pleasure to welcome back my friend Lonnie Chen, who is a fellow at the Hoover Institution, Dr. Lonnie Chen. He has basically been a top advisor to many conservative politicians and certainly is somebody with a sense of what is going on in the country, particularly regarding ending these painful lockdowns that have paralyzed our economy. And I say lockdowns plural because it's different by state, from state to state. Lani, with your knowledge of this situation, do you see one state in particular that's doing a terrible job? That should be easy, because I'm sure there's more than one. And is there a state out there that seems to be handling the easing up, the going back to normal situation a little bit better?
Well, great to be with you again. I'll start with the good first because I like to be an optimist. I think Maryland, under the leadership of Larry Hogan, has done a particularly good job of thinking about what the standards are for reopening the economy, doing it in a deliberate and thoughtful way, not bowing to pressure too much from one side or the other, but really walking a path that I think has offered to people there a good sense of what might be coming, but also executing against a set of goals that I think from a public health perspective are reasonable and laudable. You know, I'll also say honorable mention should go to Florida, not so much because I think they had a great plan all along, but because of two things. One, I think that Ron DeSantis there managed to open things up even in the wake of significant pressure from the mainstream media not to do so, but also because the initial evidence we have from Florida is actually quite promising in terms of not seeing an increase. In fact, we've seen a decrease of cases in the weeks following reopening there. So I think it's gone a lot more smoothly than a lot of mainstream commentators would have expected. You know, in terms of states not doing a great job, I live in one. I don't think California is handling this particularly well. I think there's been mixed up guidance. I think that's resulted in these strange local variations where you can have one county deciding that they're going to open up and the next county over deciding that they want to stay shut down for, you know, at least another month. You get this sort of conflicting panoply of decisions. And I have to think that the leadership in Sacramento, California is at least in part responsible for that differing guidance. So California needs to take a serious look at what it's doing because the outcome so far in terms of the reopening phase of this crisis has not been good.
Okay, California is an anomaly, it seems to me. And it's, maybe you can explain something that I don't understand. If you look, and I do this all the time, at the death rates per 100,000 people or per 1 million people, California, which is a very urbanized state, it has crowded metropolitan areas in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles, of course, San Diego, Sacramento, all big cities. But California has less than one-tenth of the death rate from COVID-19 than New York State or New Jersey. Less than one-tenth. Why is California doing so relatively well in keeping people alive?
Well, I think a few things. First of all, California and many jurisdictions, I mean, it really started at the local level in many jurisdictions in California, did make early decisions to aggressively counteract the virus with social distancing requirements, shutting down large events, putting in place a shelter in place requirement relatively early on when it was more effective, quite frankly. I mean, the virus, as we've learned from places like South Korea and Singapore and Hong Kong, you can fight the virus much more effectively when you put in place restrictions early. And then hopefully you can begin to relax those restrictions earlier as well. Now, that hasn't worked out in California in the sense that they put in place restrictions early, and in many places they're continuing the restrictions on, even though the latest
Why?
Data...
And that's
a problem. It's a problem, yeah.
I don't understand what the excuse even is, given the fact that California and Texas, two great big states, and they have very different attitudes towards coming out of the lockdown, of course. But California, which has similar rates, low rates of death as Texas, doesn't want to loosen up. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, part of it is because the leadership, you know, Gavin Newsom, the governor, other leaders around the state have repeatedly said, you know, the battle's not done. We've got to keep doing this. And I do think there is a little bit of sacrificing, you know, the economic piece of this in favor of an overly cautious public health approach. I mean, and just to give you an example, I mentioned earlier there's kind of some conflicting approaches in neighboring jurisdictions. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, as an example, in Santa Clara County, which is the county I live in, we've averaged over the last week 16 new cases and fewer than one death per day. So it works out to 0.9 new deaths per day. And this is one of the more populous counties in the San Francisco Bay Area. You go over to the next county, which is San Mateo County, they've actually had more new cases and more new deaths per day over the course of the last week. They're opening up, but this county that I live in is not. And this patchwork approach, I mean, really does lead you to question, you know, why is it that there's this inconsistency? And why is it that some policymakers feel that a continued lockdown is necessary when, as you indicate, a lot of great things have happened in California, and I do think we are ready to move into subsequent phases.
Okay, in terms of the ongoing damage here, Peggy Noonan has a powerful piece that appears in the journal tomorrow and about the class basis for a lot of this is that a lot of the people who are making the policy and are dictating the policy are people who are well positioned to weather this storm. But the people who are really paying the price and who are just itching, urging, dying, literally dying to get back to work, are people with less resources. What do you do in a lockdown situation like that to prevent this from being just another item of class division, class warfare, and partisan warfare in this country?
Well, Well, the partisan issue has been the most discouraging part of this, is the degree to which people have fallen into corners based on their partisan affiliation. But I do want to talk about Peggy's column, because I think that she's absolutely right. She's nailed it, which is that the bad effects, the bad economic effects, as well as many of the public health effects, by the way, of this virus have fallen upon people who are on the lower end of the socioeconomic ladder. And, you know, it's more than just not having a job and not having a livelihood, but even if there were an economic opportunity that someone wanted to take, he or she may not be able to take it because there's no schools to send their kids to. There's no child care for their kids to be able to be watched and looked after while they go to work. So the impacts of this shutdown are very significant, and they do not fall evenly. You know, the engineers at Google and Facebook are going to be just fine working from home. But the people who work paycheck to paycheck, who are in hourly wage jobs, they are the ones who are suffering the most from this lockdown. And I think it's a dynamic where, unfortunately, all of the people who seem to be making policy are tone deaf to the reality that this is really hurting people who need to make ends meet.
Do you know of any school districts, major school districts, that have announced so far that they are going to open up in next September?
I have not heard of any large school districts that have made that call. I know there are some smaller ones who have said they plan to go ahead, and there are some larger ones who are saying they are planning and doing everything they can to open at least in part for the fall. But this is absolutely critical, Michael. As I've said over and over again, we cannot get things sort of up and running again unless we get the school reopening part right. That has to come first, I think.
Oh, it does, absolutely. And as a proud father of two school teacher daughters, boy, that's a big one. Lonnie Chen, you can read some of his most recent commentary. We've posted our website at michaelmedved.com. He is a fellow at the Hoover Institution, and have a great weekend, Lonnie. We'll talk to you soon. Coming back, a confrontation between Chris Christie and a surprising antagonist on opening up the country. We'll talk about it. You'll hear it coming up on the MedMed Show.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Most of us, nearly all of us, in fact, have been spending so much more time at home recently that now is the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of our sleep with MyPillow. Right now, buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcases, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Just go to the radio listener special page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free. Plus, he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this amazing opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the radio listener's special page at MyPillow.com. Promo code MEDVED.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune-building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids, 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get 50% off any download at the MedVid History Store by becoming an annual MedHead member. Join at michaelmedvid.com.
And you can become an annual member and save $20 in the process if you do it right now before the end of May. Please join us as a using the promo code SPRING40, because that gives you a full one-third off for that membership, which then in turn gives you 50% off on any MedVet History program you want to download. You also have 24/7 access to this radio show commercial free. Go to michaelmedved.com or to medvedhistorystore.com and use the promo code SPRING40. There was a lot of spring fever or something going on in a fairly intense conversation between two heavyweights. Okay, they are. Chris Christie versus Whoopi Goldberg. What's the issue? The issue is Chris Christie making comments like most Republicans, like most conservatives, by the way, including this conservative, that we need to find a more sensible, more effective, and more rapid means to reopen America and restart the economy. Do it with safety in mind, but to move in that direction. And their interchange sounded like this, with Whoopi Goldberg pushing Governor Christie with a telling question. Listen.
You upset a lot of people last week for saying that the country needs to reopen because people are going to die no matter what. I mean, you compared it to lives lost during World War II, calling it a sacrifice for the American way of life. So I'm asking, since you're suggesting that I sacrifice, who are you sacrificing? Who are you willing to give up in your family?
People's choice, Whoopi, and that's what people don't understand what's going on here say. You know, we've got 36.5 million people unemployed. We have in seven different states now. The suicide rate going up.
Who are you willing to sacrifice to die, Chris? You're saying people should be willing to sacrifice family to die. Who are you willing to give up?
Whoopi, that's not what I said. Read what I said. What I said
was.
I going to be lost inevitably in this, no matter what we do. Lives are being lost today after we've been shut in for 9 weeks. People are still dying every day from these fires. But what people are also dying...
You didn't say some Americans have to make the ultimate sacrifice. You did not say that.
I said that some Americans will make that sacrifice no matter what we do.
Okay, and that, of course, is a reasonable point. The idea here that removing regulations means that you are killing people, that is not true. And this comes to, it seems to me, the very, very essence, the very core, the nub of this argument. The nub of this argument is for people on the left, they honestly believe something doesn't happen unless the government does it. That there is no rule, no logic, no policy that can possibly be followed unless it is mandated by government. That was why, I mean, you can look at any number of issues. That's why they insist, even at a time of huge government deficits, gigantic government deficits, that we have to keep funding, sending money to operations, like public television, which doesn't need government money. It already gets more than 80% of its money from private donors, from corporate donors, from viewers, from people who watch. So why do they fight so ferociously for that government money? Because it's only real to people on the left if it's official government policy. The point over here is, I think, for instance, it's incredibly stupid for people to think about going out to eat in crowded restaurants right now in the middle of a pandemic. You are increasing the risk that you're going to get sick and die, or that somebody close to you who you would then infect gets sick and dies or suffers. Why would you do that? A better example, casinos. Now, a lot of the tribal casinos are kind of open anyway. But nobody's coming. And that's the point. Nobody is forcing you to die if you choose to, if they remove restrictions. You still have the choice to stay home and shelter at home, to be just as restrictive as you want to be. And I know members of my family, and yes, probably including Diane and me, who, even when they loosen some of these restrictions, we're still going to follow them and try to be as careful as we can, because it's sensible. And by the way, and then it's up to the individual, which is much more the conservative point of view. It's the idea, if you want to keep yourself safe, of course you can. If you think it's unsafe to have a gun in your household, more power to you. But that doesn't mean that your neighbor has to follow the same conclusion. Let him have his firearm if that neighbor is convinced that he knows what to do with it and it's going to make him safer. You may be right for you. He may be right for him. That's the conservative response. Whoopi Goldberg continues.
And now we have to decide how we're going to balance this. And the balance is that there are people who are standing on food bank lines, people who are losing their homes, people who are losing their livelihood, which is leading to depression, which is leading to suicide, which is leading to addiction, which is leading to domestic violence. I saw all these things happen after Hurricane Sandy, when people wound up losing their homes, losing their livelihoods. These things happen. What I'm saying is we have to balance. Now, if you read the rest of the column, what I say is that businesses should only open at 50% capacity, that everyone in the country needs to be wearing masks, that temperatures need to be taken before anybody goes into businesses. But if we wait around for a vaccine to occur before we reopen our country, we will lose countless hundreds of thousands of lives to people who are being destroyed by the epidemic's cure as we're doing it now. So we have to balance the two. And that's what I was saying. All we're hearing is that we have to remain shut in. And what it's doing is destroying the economy and destroying, as a result, people's lives and their hope.
Okay, and that's Governor Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, where, by the way, the current governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, Democrat, very liberal Democrat, gets good marks from President Trump for actually working with President Trump fairly smoothly on the entire pandemic issue. And that's one aspect of what we were talking about with Lan He moments ago that I think also has to be considered. He mentioned that Maryland, he thought, was handling this better than any other state. What's surprising about that is Maryland has an overwhelmingly Democratic state legislature. I'm fairly certain the Democrats control more than two-thirds of both the House and the Senate in the state of Maryland. But they have a governor who's a Republican. And the fact that they can get it together, it's different from Wisconsin, where the reason the judge threw out the regulations that Governor Tony Evers, the Democrat, was trying to impose was not because they were unconstitutional. It's not because there was too much restriction on the public. It was because he didn't get the approval of the legislature. For goodness sake, this is a time when you're responding on issues of life and death where there really does need to be a more of a bipartisan approach, as there has been in some states, as there has been to some extent even in Washington, D.C., where those relief packages, not this new stupid Nancy Pelosi relief package, it would do nothing except damage our economy and damage our budget situation. But previously, on the rescue bill, on the Paycheck Protection Program, that actually was bipartisan. And that is what you need in a time, a situation like this. A lot of people believe, the religious believers in particular, that there is a message in this pandemic, that one of the things that we need to look at is what is God trying to tell us by bringing this onto our country right now at this moment. There are different ideas about that and a surprising poll that we will get to. We will also be speaking with Professor Alan Dershowitz later in the show about the Constitution and the coronavirus and, yes, the unmasking controversy. And then we'll also be talking to Molly Hemingway coming up next hour about a blue wave. No, a red wave, she says, a Republican wave coming to congressional races all across the country. Why? You'll find out in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, right? It and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.